Yes, Yoon, Cece.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You and these other creatures have got to get out of here. That is, first priority is get them out.
What's the way out?
Right back down that hallway. I mean, we gotta go through that door.
Okay.
And through these fucking things. Johnny's gonna run over towards the head scientist door that's got their head peeking out. And,
slam the door. Johnny slam
says,
the door.
Whoa, don't run! Why would you run from me? And grabs one of them.
Nihilus, you know how we said to save your magic.
Yeah?
Can you
unhook them all from reality right now?
Welcome to Reddington. A reminder for all citizens that yes, your computer probably does need that restart. Previously on Flurgy Quest, yoinked out of the air by a slime beastie in a tree, Raven Cece woke up in a secret lab. But the good news is, their cage was right next to Flurgy's. And the rest of their posse, Luke and Jessa June Greeley, Nihilus and Johnny, had just found their way into a secret lab. A secret lab that, much like the one Cece and Flurgy are in, smells strongly of cleaning supplies.
Speaking of smells, does it just smell like cleaning supplies in here, or is there anything else?
Beneath the industrial cleaner fragrances, Jessa June picks up the smells of various creatures, humans, slime beasties, and more.
I think we're in the right place, y'all. We can still smell the slime tar things, and there's other things in here, so I think we're definitely in the right place, at least.
Okay, if you smell stuff, I guess just start opening doors. Last time, the kids were in literally the first hallway we came to. Maybe we're gonna get lucky. Just keep your eyes out for crazy knockout gas, because we know that they have it, and we know that they're just absolutely horny for it.
Stay close to each other. I don't want anyone getting left behind.
And if you find any human beings when you open these doors that aren't being held against their will, just fucking beat the brakes off them.
If that's the plan, then let's go ahead and do it. And Jessa will start down the hall and go for the first door that she finds to see if it's open. Are they locked, or can we just open them?
Jessa June strides down the hall and tries the first door she sees. Not only is it locked, but it's windowless and much sturdier than she remembers from her last trip to the lab. Scientists, as it turns out, are capable of learning.
Okay, well, Jessa will try to break a door down then. Jessa will take the first door that they come to down. Throw her shoulder against it, and yeah. Jessa likes breaking doors down.
Remember last episode, dear listener, when Jessa June tossed an oncoming truck off the road? Yeah, well, the scientists may have learned, but they didn't know about that. And the hinges on this door are no match for the werewolf. Jessa rips the door away to reveal a hallway lined with more doors, each accompanied by a nameplate announcing whose office she'll likely be defacing next. From further down the hall, Jessa June can hear various animals as well as human voices talking.
Jessa will sort of carefully turn around and go back to the rest of y'all and say, there's offices down here and there's people talking down in the hall, but there's also animals making noise down there. So they've probably got something or somebody down there. I don't know if it's Cece or Flurgy, but there's something. Question is, do we want to go down and take care of that first, or we want to go see if we can find who we're looking for?
If it's animals, I am inclined to think they took Cece there, but we can't know. Unless
we go and look.
As much as I want to just keep grindering these fools, I think that we need to find our friend first.
Yes. And frankly, if there are people there in the offices along the way, you're welcome to meet Grinder as much as you desire.
That's what I like about you, Luke. You're reasonable.
Unless it's me, then I'm not allowed to meet Grinder. But anyway, okay,
Yes, June, you may meet Grinder if it is necessary, and if I think we can get away with Daddy not finding out.
I'll ask permission before I meet grind anybody, I promise. So we're going down this hall then. All right, Nihlus, are you on board with that? Is that good?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we don't know for sure that it's not Cece unless we head down there, because I mean, you said you heard animals. Depending on what they're doing to Cece, Cece could be a lot of animals, potentially in a very short span. I mean, it's as good a place to check as any.
Okay, so down to the end of the hall where the animal sounds came from then, being quiet, I hope, as we go past.
As the gang creeps by the offices, workers talk on the phone and mutter as they type, all too distracted to notice the intruders.
Guys, if it would be better to not have to, meet Grinder people, which I'm really concerned about, that does not sound pleasant. What if we tried to just make sure that we don't have to encounter anybody? I could maybe see about like trying to put people to sleep. He's like rummaging through his bag while we go. I don't know how much.
Maybe we could wait, see if we need to do that, because we might need your magic for other things, and I'd hate for you to like run out of frosting.
Yeah, and Nihlus, you were a little shaky after that last spell. Maybe hold on to maybe just hold off for a moment.
I would prefer to try to avoid meat grindering people.
Look, I'm not saying everybody gets what that guy back there gets. All right. If all the guy's doing here is their taxes, maybe I'm just gonna break his nose. Listen, evil accountants get smacked up too, but we are gonna burn this place down because they don't get to steal people and then keep the place they stole people in. No, that doesn't happen. Not in my neighborhood.
Oh, I'm entirely on board with that.
We'll try to keep the meat grinder into a minimum, Mr. Nihlus. Only if we have to.
And hey, listen, this goes for everybody. If I'm threatening somebody and I say something about you, it doesn't have to be true for you, but make sure it's true for them. Okay? Like if I say that you're gonna banish them to the 10 hells of the netherworld, whether or not you can do that should not come into this conversation.
Arriving at one source of animal sounds, the gang finds a pair of locked doors that theoretically block their path.
Jessica says, anybody any good at opening doors quietly, or are we taking this one off the hinges too? Because I can't do it.
Maybe Alistair could try to slip in and jiggle it loose.
He can do that, then sure.
Alistair stretches himself in opposite directions, elongating and splitting into two smaller balls of blue light. Each one whizzes to one of the door's keyholes and, in unison, slides into the lock and dissolves it from the inside out. The two orbs come back together and whoosh back over to Nihlus.
They just melt.
That's sick. Acid ghost. And Johnny goes to peek his head in.
Jess will go to the other door then.
Johnny and Jessa each find themselves in a large room full of cages, each of which holds a different creature or cryptid. Johnny spies a unicorn, not Pinky. And Jessa June's eyes are drawn to the bright green fur and a familiar face sulking in the next cage over.
I am sitting there. I see Cece with chest hair, holding and slightly broader shoulders, trying to hold themselves together and just muttering, going, I don't realize I'm a person who like how people, like wear hats and things. I'm a person with an animal hat, and it's just not so stupid.
Jessa will not pull a Cece and get super excited, but she will turn her back, like come back out of or back off of the room that she's in and go, yo, I think Flurky's in here and Cece is definitely in here talking to somebody. I don't know, maybe herself, I don't know, but they're in here, they're in this room.
Well then, let's go get them out carefully.
Cece does not hear Jessa June, but Flurgy does.
Someone said your name.
Okay, I'm gonna freeze. I'm ready to do something stupid.
There's other things in here, too. Like, there's all kinds of weird-looking things, and, you know, there's one of them salamanders that breathes fire and stuff. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in there. But I definitely heard Cece's voice, so, yeah, let's go. Johnny, it's this room. Let's go in this one.
All right, Johnny pulls his head out of this menagerie of wonders and enters into another one.
Flurgy said that I've turned in the cage so that I'm facing the door and just sort of carefully elongating my fingernails and getting teeth ready and whatnot. And just sort of looking over and trying to see.
Jessa's in the front. She's not trying to hide. She's just trying to be quiet, but she's not trying to hide.
So Cece's very excited, but also doesn't want to scream or something just because, like, we are in an evil accountant scientist office. But their, fingernails become a little bit more claw-like in like, werewolf sympathetic excitement type thing. And their nose gets a little, you know, black and a little muzzly, you know, and excited sort of sniffing and whatnot. And
Jessa. Jessa. Jessa.
Jessa goes, shh, 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 shh. It's okay. We're going to get you out. Just be quiet. Don't scream. Don't laugh. Don't nothing. We're going to get you out.
Okay. Everything's electric. It'll kill you.
Jessa goes, good to know. Thank you. And she'll relay that in case anybody else didn't hear it, but...
Flurgy's here.
We see him. We're going to get you both out. It's okay.
Why didn't you come in? Come in and shut the door.
What are we going to... Anyway, just shh.
All right, Johnny closes the door behind them, and after hearing all of this arguing and stuff like that, like, electric. Maybe all the cages are electric, and just like in movies with dog pounds, there's some button I can press that'll open every door. So Johnny's looking for that button.
There is, in fact, a big red button near the door.
Is there any labeling around the button?
There's no label on the button, but a conduit runs out of the button towards the cages, splitting and branching out to each one.
Johnny looks at it, looks down the row of cages and everything, and goes, "Nobody freak out, but everything in all of these cages is about to fucking freak out," and presses the button.
Johnny presses the button, and an alarm goes off. But all of the cages do open. Five other animals wait at attention. A junior Bigfoot, another unicorn, a phoenix, a salamander, and a jackalope. Despite Johnny's expectations that the creatures would be startled, they are used to the cages being open from time to time so the scientists can run tests.
Okay, well, Cece doesn't know that. So Cece, regardless, is going to run out and sort of like stand like this as much as they can in front of all of the other animals and go, "Don't freak out. Not if you understand me. If not, I'll become you. Not if you understand me."
There's silence for a moment, and then the jackalope nods, followed by the others. The junior Bigfoot sticks their head out of the cage.
Okay. Cool. Cool. Okay. So we're gonna walk out of here, guys. That's... can you guys speak to me? Someone say something.
Right?
The alarms are still going off.
Someone say something! And I point to Junior Bigfoot. You gotta talk, human. Just say something. Hi.
The Bigfoot stares wide-eyed at Cece for a moment and then says,
"My mommy tells me not to talk to strangers."
Cece walks forward and takes Junior Bigfoot's hands and just says, "It's going to be okay. Okay, start walking with us, okay?"
"Okay. Hi."
"Okay. Everyone else out of the cages," and then turns to all her friends and says, "How are you going to save
there
us?"
There is another room of creatures.
I will go and I will press that button There's probably...
Thank you.
There's probably gonna be motherfuckers coming soon because of all of this noise. So, try and hurt somebody on your way out, and maybe we can flood this place or set it on fire or something.
Okay, wait, hold on. Wait. Before you do that, I'll go with you. Okay? Just so I could talk to them, right? You don't want them, like, you know, attacking you.
Right, yeah, got it.
What if we're getting rid of this place? On our way out, I know we were talking about that, and we were kind of limited on time. What if we just, like, unhooked it from reality? It would take a minute. I don't know how much time we have, and we got to get out of here. But if we wanted to destroy this place,
we unhook ourselves from reality, or we unhook
the place, and then we probably don't want to be in here if that happens. I don't.
Oh, so we get out, then you unhook it.
But there's other halls and other doors, and who knows what else is still stuck in this lab. If you unhook it, then you're unhooking. I mean,
is that not also true though? If we flood it or set it on fire, or
hold on, the main Nihlus, can you make stuff invisible by any chance? Like, could we eat gummies and be invisible?
I could try. I could see about working something up.
Cool, because I think if we could all, like, eat something, then we could get out.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. That's the sound the alarms are still making.
Okay, Johnny, let's Scooby-Doo across the hall.
we scamper over, and I look for my big red button.
And I say, wait a second. And I walk into the room, and I say, hi, guys. I'm one of you.
The cryptids look at Cece, understanding what they're saying, but they remain uninterested in this apparent human.
I quick become a flurgy, say,
hello?
Now Cece has their attention.
I become myself again. I'm like, we're gonna break you out. Nod if you understand.
The unicorn and two gnomes nod at Cece. A Fresno Nightcrawler looks confused. At least, I think it is confused. It's pretty hard to tell. After a moment, one of the gnomes says,
yeah, okay.
Great. Okay. Go for it, Johnny.
Slams the go button and says, it's jailbreak time, motherfuckers! While the siren is going,
Cece loves this so much that he hulks out into full pen and headbutts Johnny. and gives that, the metal, like, demon horns is like, yeah! And strides out into the hall in full pen. I mean, just full, just ripped motherfucker.
Johnny accepts this headbutt in the spirit in which it was given.
The headbutt of love.
The rest of them have already sort of filed out of the other room, so they're in the hall waiting for the massive exodus.
The two gnomes bow and disappear. They just needed out of the cage. Maybe it was a Faraday cage? That's probably it.
Oh, all right.
Cece Penn is a little concerned that they might think that he's a god, but they're gone, so he can't correct them.
So that brings us to two unicorns, a Fresno Nightcrawler, a salamander, a jackalope, a phoenix, a mini Bigfoot, and of course, a flurgy.
Are there any people coming towards us down this hall with the alarms?
The doors along the hall are starting to open as the scientists hear the alarms. And coming from the door Jessa June broke down, everyone's favorite slime beasties. Not wanting to be caught off guard again, Cece rips out a baseball-sized piece of the conduit running into the cages.
Oh, for God's sake.
Jessa June, Cece.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You and these other creatures have got to get out of here. That is, first priority is get them out.
What's the way out?
Right back down that hallway. I mean, we gotta go through that door.
Okay.
And through these fucking things. Johnny's gonna run over towards the head scientist door that's got their head peeking out. And,
slam the door.
Johnny
slam
says,
the door.
Whoa, don't run! Why would you run from me? And grabs one of them.
Nihlus, you know how we said to save your magic.
Yeah.
Can you
unhook them all from reality right now.
I mean, the connections between people and reality are a little stronger than just things, typically. You know, people want to typically exist, and that can be a bit to overcome.
Can you stop the slime monsters? Because I think that is our greatest threat here.
Wait! I want to see what Johnny's doing with that scientist!
That was my goal, yes, was to grab one of these head scientists and then have one of them.
The scientist starts yelling,
Who are you people? Why are these creatures on the loose? What's going on?
I think because Alistair is pumped to see Johnny in action, like, there's like a, like, almost like theme music underneath Johnny, like, it's coming from just nowhere. And like the lights around this, like, as he's intimidating this scientist, like the light drains from the very air around it, except for like spotlight on Johnny as he's threatening this guy. Because Alistair's pumped.
We're the jailbreak committee. We're the committee who breaks people out of jail. And right now, we're leaving with all of these people. So I need you to call these slime monsters off, or something awful is going to happen to you and maybe everyone you love. I haven't decided yet.
And kind of because Johnny said make it true for the other person, even if it's not true for us, Jess is going hairy again.
The scientist holds up one of the controllers.
Look, I'll give this to you. Just let us go. You can get out. Take whatever the hell you want. Just let me go. We didn't see you. I never heard of you. I don't know your face. Just get out of here.
Stay out of Reddington, asshole. Stay out of Reddington, shithead. Because if I see you or your people again, something terrible is going to happen to you. Now at least have the fucking decency to run.
But not before you tell us if there are other animals here.
He drops the controller and takes off past the slime beasties.
Well, hopefully if we've got this, we can just look around the place. Anybody know how the fuck this works? And Johnny's just like staring at it dumbfounded.
I can press the button? Is there another button?
What if the button is like attack though?
Yeah, what's on this controller?
There are two buttons on it.
Okay, so anyone who can smell well, what you got? Do you guys smell any other animals besides us?
It smells like all the things we need to get out of here are here. Johnny, you remember that big nasty slime thing that you exploded in the other lab? There's one of them here too.
All right, well, the entrance is the creek, and this thing hates water, so I say when we leave, we just don't close the door. We fill this thing up, it'll turn into a block of stone at the bottom of maybe a new pond, if we're being real. And if anybody tries to haul it out, we shatter it into a million pieces.
Sounds good to me. All right.
Cece's been looking at the slime monsters, and if they've still not been moving?
Nope. They're just sitting there at the moment.
Okay, so he's gonna walk a little closer to them. They still not moving?
Nope.
Is there a way between them?
Not without stepping on one of them.
Johnny's going to walk towards them with the remote in his hand and just like hold it out in front of him.
The slime beastie looks at Johnny and then morphs itself into a Johnny-sized form and holds out its hand.
Oh, I fucking hate this. Oh, I don't like this. Hey.
Penn leans into Johnny and says, I think you're their master now.
Yeah. I'm really starting to get that.
That's so cool.
Are we sure that these things aren't just being controlled and used too and really would rather be somewhere else? Or?
Oh, no. Oh, well, I mean, ask him. Ask him, Johnny. Ask him. And actually, wait, hold on, wait. And I go back to Flurgy, and I say, hey, Flurg, any chance you can read the brains of these slime guys?
Flurgy cocks his head.
It's a hive mind. I can tell you that. But they don't seem to mean you any harm. They just want their controller.
Can they understand us?
Okay, they want this.
I think Nalis is right. I think they don't want to be enslaved either.
Is the controller some sort of like threat against them that just keeps them in line and doesn't actually, it's not like a remote or?
Well, you remember the guy in the truck pressed a button and got him to come out of the back of the truck, right? So...
Hey, Slimers, can you nod if you understand me?
The one with its arm out looks at you and extends its arm further.
Johnny, you want to shake their hand or shall I?
Don't touch it. I mean,
I don't think it's going to hurt me. And if it does, it'll undo it, right? You'll undo it, looking at the slime soldier.
It just has its hand out.
Right, Penn slaps like a high five onto the slime monster's hand.
As Penn goes to slap, the arm slurps back into the creature's shoulder before reforming, still extended.
Okay, Penn looks at Johnny and says, okay, you've got to give him a high five. Yeah, Johnny, you got to give him a high five. Go ahead and try it.
I don't think it wants a high five.
I think this might be a terrible idea, but I definitely know what I would want if I was a slime monster. And I sit the controller in its hand and it goes, now you are the master of the slime monsters.
The slimy hand coalesces around the controller as it absorbs it into itself. All of the slime monsters merge into one large creature. And with a nod, Johnny's slime bestie turns and walks down the hall.
Penn's really kind of frustrated they don't have a high five. So he does, he turns to the righteous Johnny Light and says, can you just, please, you know, don't leave me hanging, man.
Undead problems. We've all had them. Hauntings, vampires, the occasional demonic possession. These are common enough problems in Reddington. Little more than inconveniences, especially if you are the ghost, vampire, or demon. But think about it. Really think about it for a moment. If those little undead problems lead to bigger undead problems, are you going to be ready to deal with them? In the worst case of, say, a zombie apocalypse, are you prepared? Or do you not need to be prepared because someone else has you covered? Y-Mark Zombie Insurance is the best in the business with plans as low as $30 a month. Inquire now to find out about benefits like barricade assistance, baseball bats with spikes on them, and guaranteed delivery of the zombie virus cure as soon as it's discovered. Reddington citizens who sign up within the next month are eligible for the free Zombie Therapy Edition, where Y-Mark will set you up with a counseling session with the best and only supernatural therapist in town to deal with the inevitable trauma of watching your loved one shambling around trying to eat your brain. So whether zombies are brought about by irresponsible science, dark necromancy, or just dead people getting sort of fed up with the whole thing, Y-Mark will be prepared for you. Ghouls, skeletons, revenants, wipes, and other corporeal non-zombies are not eligible for insurance. In the case of a non-apocalyptic zombie event, insurance agents will assess whether zombies actually occurred. Y-Mark is not liable if their entire offices and network are destroyed by zombies and no one can find a living representative. Zombies you create yourself through desperate grief, sheer hubris, or finding a spell in a book and reading it out loud because you don't think it'll work are only covered under the deluxe plan. Additional fees may apply.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay, cool.
And Johnny looks at Penn's elbow and everything. It is like a quality high five.
Yes. Yeah. Penn, in a great amount of excitement, reaches up, sees the sprinkler system above them. It's a nice, thick sprinkler system. It's not dainty pipes. Reaches up, sort of improves their bicep muscles and wrenches down a good section of pipe because, inspired by Johnny, Penn is very excited suddenly about smashing some skulls. I want to say, I don't think Cece has ever done this in their life.
Johnny watches this, especially the bicep growing, and is immediately just like, he has like giant hard eyes coming out of his head. And goes, kid, you got a future in the business. And offers his crowbar for clinking.
Penn turns to Johnny then and just like with both arms up and a little cartoony, like starts pop, 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 muscling all along his arms and then like puffs out his chest, gives himself pecs, like pulls in the stomach. It's an 8-pack. And
is it like the Popeye style like stack of biceps that just like just too many?
it's like they once saw an 80s action film.
It's like watching Penn go from like relatively normal human to hulking out and just being like that's not right.
Anyway, I don't know whether Johnny looks like he wants to be headbutted or high-fived again, whatnot. But
he's offering up the crowbar for clinking with your bar.
Oh yeah, man. Yes. Yeah, there is just like by the power of Grayskull hitting, except that of course CC Penn has never seen by the power of Grayskull. But regardless, they just somehow know. And I want to just mention that if you were to take a still shot of this, it would be Johnny and Penn crossing crowbars and metal sprinkler systems and Flurgy between them in all his tiger green glory. And you could just eat it, cartoons.
So do we see these other scientists like running down the hall still getting away, or are they now out of sight?
They are out of sight, but you know which way they fled.
Is it the same direction the slime monsters went?
Nope. The scientist hightailed it for the exits.
The slime monsters not exiting?
So they're not going after their captors?
I'm guessing the slime monsters are going for Big Daddy Slime Monster.
There's like an entire like city of slime monsters nearby.
Don't worry, everybody. The slime besties are more than capable of exacting revenge once they've liberated their brethren.
Not as comforting as I would like that to be.
Well, I'm personally going to be waiting for Johnny to take the lead.
All right. I want at least one more of these guys. And while we're grabbing them, we can try and find out if anyone or anything else is down here before we fuck this place up beyond all goddamn recognition. And before Johnny leaves, he needs a pen, a piece of paper, and a stapler. And then he's down the hall after these people.
CC Penn starts to run after Johnny, but then also sort of skitters to a stop, turns around, looks at all the animals, needs to go with Johnny, obviously, but sort of looks at Nihlus and goes, can you save animals? Yes, go! Yes, please, Nihlus, yes!
Like take them out separately by myself, or like
I don't know.
Just keep an eye on them while you're doing your thing and
save the animals. Do your magic. I gotta go.
Okay.
I run after Johnny.
Jess will look after where they went and go. We can get the animals out. We can make sure that they get to the exit and get out of the building, and if there's somebody out there, we'll deal with them out there, but we can take care of getting the animals out.
If we get to the exit, they'll get to the exit.
Right.
Nihlus is just kind of like watches everybody run kind of away a little bit and just turns and looks at all these animals and like pulls some apples out of his bag and just starts distributing some apples. I don't know how long you've all been in there. We should probably eat and walk. We should probably get going, but I don't know if you've all been in here a while, but, so thought maybe you might enjoy a little something fresh. I don't know. I'm guessing they probably haven't taken very good care of you all, given the fact that you're even in here, and starts munching on an apple himself.
The cryptids accept the apples. They've been fed regularly, but they're happy to chill with Nihlus and share some fresh fruit.
Planning on trying to like herd all of the animals out of the building.
Luke, I think, is running after Johnny and Cece. Like, yes, you got this.
I got it. Go on and go if you're
all
going.
All right, I can help. I think I'm more help over there.
As Luke takes off behind Cece and Johnny, Jess and June and Nihlus begin to figure out how to get the cryptids to safety.
I mean, Jessa can take Junior Bigfoot's hand, which means she's got the whatever guy, the shadow guy, probably.
Our producers have asked me to read the following. While the name may imply either a shadowy, worm-like visage, a Fresno Nightcrawler is very much the opposite of both. It is solid white, and while worms are 0% legs, the Nightcrawler, this one is called Freddy, is all legs. Picture a pair of white trousers walking of its own volition, and you've got Freddy, who has sidled over to Jessa June and the Junior Bigfoot.
And we had a salamander and a phoenix and a jackalope and two unicorns. Yeah, Jess is going to get an iguana again. We're just going to put the salamander on Jessa.
I was kind of thinking all of the smaller ones, just Nihilus, like, buried in animals. Like,
that's a pretty big honking salamander.
Jessa June, Freddy, the salamander, and the Junior Bigfoot take the lead. The unicorns follow, occasionally slowing to munch on the loose papers and the inboxes mounted next to the office doors.
Yeah, I just imagine them, like, covered in apple spit right now.
Nihilus and the jackalope bring up the rear, with the phoenix riding on Nihilus's shoulders. Hallways just aren't the best for flying.
It's totally gonna set Nihilus on fire again.
As the merry menagerie marches towards freedom, a sharp crackling noise rings out from the hallway ceiling, followed by a fissure that stretches out from where Cece ripped out their conduit cudgel. Before anyone can react, electrical conduit, ceiling tiles, and so much rubble pours into the hallway right in the middle of the cryptid crew.
So it's coming down in between Jess's group and Nihilus's group.
As the dust settles, Jessa June finds herself ahead of the collapsed ceiling with the unicorns, the salamander, the Junior Bigfoot, and Freddy. Nihilus and the others are trapped.
Trapped?
Cece's biceps were just too big.
Destabilized the entire hallway. Can they be seen? I mean, if ceiling came down with it too, is this a matter of I can't see them now either?
Jessa June cranes her neck to try to see around the debris, but can't lay eyes on Nihilus and his cryptid companions.
So Jessa June and I are separated, or separated from the rest of the group?
Nihilus and Jessa June are separated, but we should check in on the others who, oh my, seem to be running somewhere.
Catching scientists.
Yeah, wherever the scientist is running, I guess we're following after him, right?
With Cece, Johnny, and Flurgy on his heels, Luke leaps and tackles the slowest scientist in the building, who, for the record, is not the same person Johnny crossed paths with earlier.
Are there more scientists beyond the slowest scientist that we can see?
Probably somewhere in the building.
Okay, so Luke has tackled this scientist.
Yeah. I think Luke is, like, changing into wolfman form and, like, growling at the scientist. Like, tell us what else you're keeping in this building. Animals, people, kids again.
That's fine, that's fine. Here, you know what? Just take the keys. Just take the keys. Go open some doors. Please just don't kill me.
You got a map or a list or...
Okay, how about this? You're gonna come with us and show us all the best doors to open. And if you try to run, someone here is gonna show you what your own fucking lungs look like.
There's a lot of options on who that someone could be.
Okay, well, so does that mean if I do help you guys, I can leave?
Penn turns to Jessica, shut up and help us!
Okay.
Johnny's gonna throw his arm around this guy, and because Johnny knows what he has planned, and he says, I promise you, I swear to you, you are gonna walk out of this building under your own power.
I feel like I shouldn't trust that, but okay. Can we just go into this office here? Yeah. Okay, so here's what I'm gonna do.
Listen, it's a promise, and if this turns out to be a lie, I promise you, you can name 6 things, whatever they are in the whole world, and I'll eat them. Let's go.
Okay. Okay.
Johnny, I do kind of want to see you eat some cool shit. Like, I believe that you can eat it.
Yeah, you're welcome to name those six things. I'm just going to put my password in here.
He quickly types and then gets away from the computer.
There's the map. Have fun. It's a directory. I'm just going to sit right here.
I think you're coming with us.
Can I please not? You guys are really scary. But look, look. I'll even print it. My printer's right over here. And you can break it so I don't contact nobody.
Johnny, is your arm still around this kid?
As he's like typing all this stuff and up and pulling everything up and like printing stuff off, Johnny's just letting him do that stuff. And while he's doing it, Johnny's writing something on the piece of paper. And he walks back to the guy and he goes, I have a note that I need you to take home to your people. Whoever owns this thing. Somebody signs your checks, and maybe you know who they are, maybe you don't. I'm hoping that you're going to know somebody who's going to be able to hand this note over. Now, I'm really worried about your ability to hang on to it, though. I really think you might lose it. And Johnny flaps around his empty black bag, and he goes, and all the stuff I normally use for situations like this are busy skeletonizing one of your friends. So I want to make sure that you do not lose this. And he takes the piece of paper, holds it to the guy's forehead, and just staples it there. Now, Shubi, before I change my mind.
That was a lot. A lot. Mercifully, the scientist passes out, his laptop still sitting there, wide open.
Okay, because Penn's been sort of not... Penn, Stratos, this Strati are not accustomed to this sort of physical and anger rage, and has been sort of holding their pipe and just stalking back and forth and watching two people who are much better at this. is momentarily concerned about this, but then also eyes the computer and then gets angry again and looks at Johnny and just says, should I destroy this mechanical stuff?
Fucking wreck it up.
What? Yes? Did you say yes?
Wreck it up.
Oh!
Honestly, at this point, wreck anything you can get your hands on our way down here.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, Penn just starts lemonading all over. It just, and there's a lot more rage in Penn than Penn realized. And there is part of Penn that is a little shocked and a little excited and a little turned on and a little like, it's kind of beautiful to see all this destruction as they just sparks flying and anything they could get their metal, you know, bar into. And the place is just sort of left. And then they turn and look at Johnny and are breathing.
Nice work. Nice work.
Okay.
That's good shit.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Oh, thanks.
Listen, all this stuff belongs to
bad guys.
Bad guy kidnappers. And bad guy kidnappers don't get to have stuff.
Well, are more people, can we stop them?
I'm hoping that this note is going to at least take the heat off of everybody else in here and make sure that whoever's doing this wants to come and dance with me again.
Penn looks at the note. Yeah, what does it say?
The note on his forehead says, if you want to come to Reddington and do shit like this, you had better fucking kill me. Love, Johnny. And you know what? He's gonna take a dab of the tiger balm and just rub it on the note so they can smell it.
Good, good. But Penn also reaches into his backpack and pulls out a tube of lipstick and puts it on and then kisses the note.
All right, let's use this fucking map and see if there's any one or anything else in here and get them out and. Let's break something expensive looking on our way, yeah?
Like an iPod!
Thank you for listening to Welcome to Reddington. Reddington's monsters are controlled by Meg Griffin. Episodes are edited by Alice Hart and Alex Lavelle, who also handles the script, and are produced by Algy Todd. A special thanks to Red Griffin for our character art, and to Michael Sands and Evil Hat for the Monster of the Week gaming system used in this podcast. We will be back in 2 weeks with the finale for Mystery 8, Siren Knights. We know that money can be tight, so if you're enjoying the show, we would appreciate it if you could leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Welcome to Reddington is created by Feathered Frequency Productions and is part of the Haunted Griffin Entertainment Network. Please check out our website for more of our shows. Today's episode starred
Emily C.A. Snyder as C.C. Mark Penn Stratos.
Sarah Palmero as Jesse June Greeley.
Algy Todd as Luke Greeley.
Mick Wheaton as Nihlus Wheeler.
M.L. Earhart as the Righteous Johnny Lydon.
And today's guests include Red Griffin as our Junior Bigfoot, and Isaiah Rothstein and Joshua Harden as our two scientists.